Well, KCUR's Frank Morris is just back from a reporting trip to the Ozarks that resulted in two reports that ran on NPR. The basis of the trip was to take a look at the region that was home to Frazier Glenn Miller, the man accused of murdering three outside the Jewish Community Center in Overland Park last month. Frank's reports detailed a region struggling to come to terms with its racist past and a whole bunch more. Frank Morris is here in the studio with me. And Frank, nice to have you.
Hey,
good
Steve.
Morning.
Nice to be here.
Also here is Leonard Zeskin. He's president of the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. He's also the author of Blood and Politics, the History of the White Nationalist Movement from the Margins to the Mainstream. And Leonard, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Frank, why did you head down to the Ozarks? What took you down there?
Well, of course, you know, the accused shooter, Glenn Miller, is from there. And then the mayor of the little town that Miller lives near, Marionville, made his comments, basically agreeing with parts of Miller's ideology, saying Miller was a good guy. That it was a big firestorm. And so I pitched that. And one trip that far away requires – you have to have two trips to justify the mileage. So I had to come up with another thing, too, and the Southern Poverty Law Center just written a really interesting story about Harrison, which is really
Harrison, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of ground zero for this culture clash that's going on in the Ozarks.
And did you find what you expected to find, Frank, or do the stereotypes of the Ozarks, at least when it comes to race, no longer apply?
I think they do apply. I spoke with Mr. Zeskin about, how am I going to find these, hardcore racists? Well, you go to a gun show, he suggested. So I planned my trip around a couple of gun shows, and I didn't need to go to the gun shows. I didn't have any trouble finding people. You know, there are people all across the spectrum. But there are people who are outspoken and sort of unapologetic about a level of bigotry in the Ozarks that I really found surprising. And then the region is, you know this going in, but it really is surprisingly white. It's every job that you might expect, every like hotel clerk, every, yeah. They don't come from India. They're all, everybody there is white, practically.
Leonard Zeskin, the reason a lot of the folks down there are white, there's some history attached to this, some ugly history. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there's an ugly history of expelling people of color from the region, which is also true in North Georgia and Oklahoma.
And this dates back even 100 years, right?
Yes. And there's also a history of people moving into the region, like Tom Robb, who our news producer interviewed, spent some time with. Robb is not a natural Ozarkian. And the folks at Elohim City across the state line in the Ozarks in Oklahoma are move-in people. Actually, they're Mennonites from Canada.
But why the Ozarks, Leonard? What's the appeal?
It's a region where there aren't superhighways through it much, or where you can live and be left alone. And people of the Aryan types like mountains. They like to be hidden away from the rest of the public, and it's something of a getaway for them. And they've populated the region.
They also like the fact that it's predominantly white.
Yeah. Oh, and there are 18 counties in northwest Arkansas, and I don't know about the southwest Missouri and Oklahoma side of the Ozarks, but those are predominantly white counties. And I remember when the Aryan folks went on trial in Fort Smith, Arkansas. They had an all-white jury that did not convict them of anything. And these were people, of course, who had robbed banks and murdered people and so forth.
Well, Frank, you know this better than I do, but you get down to that part of the state and, you can hide pretty effectively down there.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. As Leonard said, it's very remote. There are remote, rugged parts of the Ozarks and parts where, they didn't have paved roads until, like the 50s. And so the culture there is – a great thing about the area, too, is that it has a very distinct culture that you feel it when you enter. You have to come to grips with, I'm in a different part of the country now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are regions where Now, the law enforcement spent some energy and cracked down on the Covenant Sword and Armor of the Lord camp down on Bull Shoals Lake. But there was an Aryan gun nut not very far away from that who spent a dozen years hiding from the cops in the mountains. Hmm. And it's very easy to hide.
You know, Lenny, before these shootings at the Jewish Community Center, you know, had you heard of Fraser Glenn Miller? I mean, was he on your radar screen?
Oh, absolutely.
Because why?
I was working out of Atlanta for Reverend C.T. Vivian, and Glenn Miller was turning North Carolina upside down. And I used to go up to North Carolina 3 and 4 times a year to speak and organize and help the folks up there to deal with what Miller was doing.
That was in the 80s, right? That goes back to the 80s.
That's back in the 80s. Wow. He had created a White Patriot Party, had over 1,000 members in North Carolina alone. They marched in soldierly fashion with Confederate battle flags going in a blitzkrieg fashion through the small towns, and they recruited. And they were buying weapons off of the military bases, light anti-tank weapons, law rockets, shoot through 13 inches armored steel. What does anybody need that for?
Well, Frank, you went to Fraser Glenn Miller's home community of Marionville, Missouri. Describe that town to us, and what did you find there?
Well, Marionville, you know, is famous for having white squirrels. It's one of a few places in the world where there are white squirrels.
White squirrels, literally.
Yeah, that's their famous. But the town is really, it's just kind of spread out, and there's not much of a center to it. And that's because the downtown is completely abandoned, and it's boarded up. The town had much happier times 100 years ago, when they had a university, they had a series of factories. It used to be a much bigger town. It's a town that has really had a very, very tough century.
And where is it compared to Springfield?
It's just about 30 miles southwest of Springfield.
So not far.
No, it's pretty close to Springfield. About 10 miles outside the suburbs, really.
There's been a process in the rural Midwest of concentration into the metropolitan areas and the decline all over these states and in the counties, a decline of the small towns. That is a process that's regardless of the race of the inhabitants.
Is there a linkage here to white supremacy that you're aware of, Lenny, or not?
No, yeah. This is the mechanics of the market.
Yeah.
This is the mechanics of the market. It's the change in agriculture. It's the change in the size of the farms that's been going on. There are bigger landowners than used to be. You could run a 360-acre dairy farm and make a decent living. Yeah. But these days, you need thousands of acres, and you're not necessarily making a living.
I will say, though, that I included this in one of the stories I did because I ran into a number of people who were not just – you know, sort of openly biased against Jews. They were they linked it to corporations. They believed there was this big system that was kind of against them. Mm-hmm. And you know, it made me wonder if you're presiding over a town that has been is just a shell of its former self, maybe you're looking for culprits.
Yeah. That's the voice of Frank Morris. He's with KCUR. He just went down to the Ozarks, did a couple of stories on that part of the country that's home to Fraser Glenn Miller, the man accused of the shootings outside the Jewish Community Center in Overland Park. He's also joined by Leonard Zeskind, who's president of the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. Frank, let's go to some of the clips from your reporting down in Marionville to begin with. Again, the home community of Fraser Glenn Miller. This first one features Doris Rapp, the town's new mayor. Tell us about this.
Oh, Doris Rapp took over after Dan Clevenger was forced from office after making the comments. She spoke to me.
Dan Clevenger, the former mayor who sort of sympathized with Fraser Glenn Miller a little bit.
Well, she stayed out of the whole debate.
She did, but Dan Clevenger got in trouble.
Dan Clevenger, right, I'm sorry. And Doris Rapp spoke with me through clenched teeth across an information desk at City Hall. She didn't want me to be there at all.
Because why?
She has it's her goal, and you'll hear it in the cut, to put this thing to rest. It's been a very painful chapter for Marionville.
Here we go.
That's it. I think people are ready to move on, you know, and just go on with their daily lives and make the best of a bad situation.
Yep.
Clenched teeth.
Yeah, clenched teeth. And, you know, and that interview ended just a couple of minutes later with her telling me, okay, it's time for you to leave. And I got the sense she didn't mean City Hall. She meant Marionville.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you get a sense that folks there, I mean, how weary are they of this stigma of being sort of out of step with the rest of society on so many levels?
I think some are and some aren't. In Marionville, it's kind of an unusual example because they've just been coasting along without a lot of trouble. You know, people are... As Leonard Zeskin always says, it's just live and let live ethos down there, and they are used to just not talking about it. Or if you do have a disagreement, well, yes, you have a disagreement. We all have to get along here. It's a small town, so I think they're very uncomfortable. My take on it was they're uncomfortable having to talk about, and definitely uncomfortable being in the spotlight, the national spotlight, talking about
a place they just don't want to be.
Right, you know, and it gave a lot of people on both sides say, "Hey, this gave our town a black eye," you know. But worse than that, for the town, it did divide the town. There are people sharply on either side of the issue. Either the mayor. It was a horrible thing that happened to the mayor, horrible thing that happened to town. Mayor clearly needed to go, or the media turned this into an event. The mayor, maybe shouldn't have said that as mayor. Of course, if he had been just talking in his small engine repair shop, everything would have been fine.
We have another clip here from Marionville. This is from Flora Walker, who runs the Hillbilly Gas Mart. Tell us about her before we hear the clip, Frank, and the Hillbilly Gas Mart.
Hillbilly Gas Mart, Steve, I think you live near one of these places. It's a gas station where you can get really good food.
It's called Oklahoma Joe's.
Well, this Hillbilly Gas Mart is not a barbecue place, but it's a great little establishment there. Everybody goes there. But now some people in the town will no longer set foot in the Hillbilly Gas Mart because they were on the other side of this issue.
Meaning the Gas Mart?
Meaning that the folks who run the Hillbilly Gas Mart, everybody knew Glenn Miller. They used to get his stacks of his newspapers, and they would, politely take them and wait till he left, and then they'd throw them in the trash can. And they were publicly out against him, thinking that he should step down. That created – that earned them the enmity of some of the townspeople who'd been going in there for generations will no longer set foot in the place.
Okay, here's Flora Walker.
But if you live in hate – you live in hate, you're going to have mental issues. And that's my fear for our country. We seem to hate one another. We can't just talk. We can't just have disagreements and not get angry.
Flora Walker from the Hillbilly Gas Mart. You know, Leonard Zeskin, one thing that strikes me about all this is none of this is too far from Kansas City.
No, it's not. And it's while it's concentrated to a certain degree in the areas that Frank visited, and there's no visible opposition except for the occasional Gas Mart owner, they say things down there that you can't get away with in a community with lots of people of color and a big Jewish community. You can't get away with that kind of stuff. And you have people like me who will stand up and say, you can't say that stuff. But we have to remember that race and bigotry have been part of the American fabric from the very beginning. And if we looked at our presidents, Woodrow Wilson sat in the White House, looked at the Klan film Birth of a Nation and said, writing history with electricity. That's Woodrow Wilson. We don't think of him as a racist, but he endorsed the Klan film.
I was going to say, Leonard, we have Frank's reports. We have the Jewish Community Center shootings. We have Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers. What do you make of it all?
We have a problem in our country, not just in our region. We have a problem in our country that needs to be addressed not just by law enforcement and the government. It needs to be addressed by people in their communities who are willing to stand up and set a different kind of moral tone for the way that we live together. This is an increasingly diverse country. We have a period coming up in our history. You think it's tough now? In a couple of dozen years, we're going to have a change in the demographic majority. White people will no longer be the majority. They will be a minority in a nation of minorities. They will not be able to exercise power simply by their majority status. They're going to have to learn to live together, and we haven't learned it yet.
Frankie, now, what do folks down in the Ozarks say about the changing demographics? Do you have any sense of that from them down there?
Well, you know, the demographic changes are pretty subtle in the Ozarks. I mean, you have towns that have, say, Tyson plants that have a lot of Hispanics in them, and some of those towns are doing very well by you know, integrating those folks. You know, you have a Eureka Springs that has a really vibrant, thriving gay and lesbian community. But that, again, that community is all but all white. I mean, the last census found 12 black people there. So I mean, there's not even, and that's Eureka. That's the big liberal happening place in the Ozarks, and you know, there are 12 black people there.
So folks of color still don't want to move to that part of our country. Clearly,
I don't know that it's black folks don't want to move as much as white folks don't want to have them.
Well, okay.
And that's the way we should think about it. Because it's white folks who expel black folks in this country. It's white folks who burned down the black community in Tulsa. It's white folks that lynched people in for race mixing. It's white folks who have done us holes, who owned the slaves, to go back a little bit. It's white folks who benefited from Jim Crow. Jim Crow is maybe over on the legal books, but it's not over in a large portion of the American heart.
Well, I want to thank both Leonard Zeskin, again, president of the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, and Frank Morris, who did these reports for NPR. Interesting look at a part of our country. Thank you both for coming in. So good to have you.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.